Today on Compassion Radio.
I saw around the room there were like light bulbs going on in people's heads, and this young man from Korea said, I heard him in Korean. As we went around the room, people from different countries, it was like dawning on them. Well, I heard him in Hungarian. I heard Dutch. And it was really amazing. We all kind of just were overwhelmed by that truth. And it reminded me of this scripture. They heard the word of God in their native heart language, and it ministered to them in a deep, profound way.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. At Compassion, we spend time on the front lines of Christianity, where people just like you are doing amazing things for the kingdom. You're invited to jump on board. Come with us as we discover the work of God in the most amazing and unlikely places. I'm Frank Montenegro, and today we're bringing you the next installment of a series called Chasing the Word, where Bram and his wife Sandy are taking a look at the historical mission of the Christian church. Here's Bram and Sandy to start things off.
Hi, honey. Welcome back to the studio.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
We wanted to spend time in the Word each week on this program.
To be an example of communicating to each other about Scripture, dialoguing about what we're reading in Scripture, asking the Holy Spirit to do His good work in us as we contemplate what the Word of God says about what is happening in the book of Acts.
So we're going to jump right back into the Scripture that led us into the series idea in the first place, which was Acts, and discuss what it was like for the church early on to face some of the biggest changes ever in the history of faith, and what it was going to mean for the future of all believers who would come after them. This was a crucial time in history, but it's also being lived out today in the first person all around the world. We've seen that ourselves, mm-hmm. that first century Christianity is very much alive today.
All right. So we left off before where Jesus is ascending back up into heaven. Mm-hmm. All of the disciples and Jesus' followers are there just staring at the sky, and they're probably their mouths hanging open.
Agape.
And these angels come and say, hey, why are you just standing here looking at the sky? You need to go back to Jerusalem and wait till the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus right. promised you. So we pick up then in chapter 2.
And you and I talked over the past week or so since we did our last program on this subject. What was going on in the time between when Jesus ascended and while they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to descend?
Right. So we never will be able to know till we're with the Lord what He was doing during that time. But we see in Scripture that the disciples have gone back to Jerusalem, and it's a very important time in the nation of Israel.
And in their Sabbath and their feast calendars.
Right.
At the end of the weeks of Passover is the Feast of Weeks, which is the end of the 7 weeks that they were celebrating Passover. So all those weeks were part of the Passover celebration. It wasn't just what we think of the 3 days leading up to the crucifixion and then the 3 days of death and resurrection that we talk about within the Christian church now. There was a whole lot of stuff that was satisfying the requirements of the law. And that last week is the week we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Jesus ascends, and then the Feasts of Weeks, mm-hmm. which is the new beginnings.
Right.
The work of the Passover has been accomplished. We no longer need to be running around with tortillas in our backpacks, running from place to place, trying to avoid the dangers of this world and the authorities trying to catch up with us. We have now entered into our rest. We can let our bread rise. Mm-hmm. We can celebrate the gifts of the fruits. And the first fruits for us, spiritually speaking, of course, is Jesus. And that begins on Resurrection Sunday. So that following Sunday, at the end of the Feast of Weeks, we have completed everything that's required of us, according to the law, to admit and acknowledge that God has brought us into new life.
Exactly. So Pentecost literally means the 50th day. So it is 50 days after Passover. And we know from Scripture that Jesus was crucified on Passover. So then begins the season of the feasts. Mm-hmm. That's where we come to Pentecost. End of the feasts. So on Pentecost, which in the Christian church, we know that that is when the Holy Spirit was given as a gift to us.
So let's read it. Now, when that day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Again, we're talking about the believers, the followers, the disciples of Jesus. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like a rushing, violent wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were being distributed among them, and they rested on each of them as each person received the Holy Spirit. I love that image of something resting on them as the Holy Spirit is falling into their hearts. Mm-hmm. It's like a visual thing, like there's something like a pillar of smoke and fire we hear about in the Old Testament, leading the people out is now leading them from within. And they were all filled, that is, diffused through their being with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, different languages, as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out. Now, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout and God-fearing men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound was heard, a crowd gathered, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing those in the upper room speaking in his own language or dialect. Now, throughout Christian history, I've read this story, and it's been an example of what the church is supposed to be like for some. It is what the church began as for others, and it's become kind of the template for where church can go great or where it can go crazy. And there's been a debate ever since about whether or not this is something that's supposed to be normal for the Christian church to experience. I want to explore that for a couple minutes. So, honey, what do you think? Is this kind of Pentecostal experience where the fire is blazing out of heads and people are full of joy like they're drunk and where people are hearing things that can't possibly be natural for people to do, is this the norm for Christianity?
Well, like you said, I think that's been a constant debate within the church. I don't know that it's the norm. I do believe that this kind of experience is available to all of us.
Now, my question is a bit rhetorical because you and I have both seen in many travels around the world that there's stuff going on like this with believers in every country of this planet. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean by saying that first century Christianity is very much alive today in many countries. Some have thought they're crazy. Some have thought that there's demon possession going on when the Holy Spirit comes upon people groups. But we've seen it. In fact, we've experienced ourselves God's visitation and His pleasure to speak to us with groups of Christians that we've been with, where it's obvious that we're hearing things beyond the natural ability for us to understand the words being spoken by people who are native to other languages. I'm not saying that a Pentecostal theology or practice is essential to being close and being in Jesus. I believe there are many Spirit-filled Christians in every denomination that God has called and have experienced Him personally that can testify to the presence and the reality of the Holy Spirit in their lives.
You're listening to Compassion Radio. Coming up next, more biblical insight on the historical mission of the Christian church.
It was Desmond Tutu who said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." Friends, this is Bram Floria, and I'd like to tell you about a wonderful opportunity for you to help some of the most at-risk people in the world, children and infants, to bring them out of the darkness of destitution and abandonment and into the hope of a bright future and a better life. It's Store of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, and it's seen thousands adopted, fostered, or even reclaimed by family members who had originally abandoned them. The good news is that there are already two very successful baby houses in existence, and our Compassion Radio partners like you had a big part in making those happen in the past. But we all know that babies don't stay babies forever, and that's why Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is seeking again this year to continue the construction of Hope Village. This transformational project will feature a large park playground, a school even, a church, a farm, and will eventually be completely self-sustaining. The kind and loving staff at Hope Village will provide each and every child with spiritual training and education, as well as a marketable skill to use when they grow up. Your financial gift will help ensure that each of these little ones has a chance at a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you help. When you give, you'll be changing the eternal destiny of one child or more, desperately in need of hope right now. And here's the best part. For the first time ever, we have a special challenge grant on this project of $4,000 for this month, which means every dollar you give is going to be doubled if you will give now. Please call us at 1-800-868-2478 during business hours Pacific time or go to CompassionRadio.com to give right away. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. And our mailing address again is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. And if you've got a smartphone or a tablet, just text the word KIDS to 53445. That's the word KIDS, K-I-D-S, to 53445. Thank you again for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these children and infants in South Africa through the 2019 Compassion Radio Door of Hope Project. God bless you.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
So I do believe that this experience that these disciples experienced in the first century on Pentecost is something that God is very much alive and doing today. And I don't need to defend that either theologically or empirically. We've seen it. It's our testimony. Mm-hmm. God is alive in this way. Mm-hmm. Now comes the point of discussing whether or not we need it in order to be obedient and experience the power of God in our lives. I don't know. I do know that my personal experience has been that when I took the Word of God seriously and I actually saw it happen for myself, the way it's being described here in the Scriptures, it really woke me up to believe that it's not just an idea anymore or a metaphor, that God literally physically comes sometimes and makes His presence absolutely known in the presence of His worshipers. And that when I experienced that myself, there was such unity, there was such trust, there was such safety, that there was no question in my mind that God's Spirit was there and that we all needed to be acknowledging His presence. There was no argument.
Well, I think it's important to note, too, that we don't need to be about seeking an experience.
Amen.
To trust that the Holy Spirit is at work. There are times we are invited in to see a more tangible movement of the Holy Spirit than what we are commonly used to in our everyday lives. And I hope that when that happens, it's not one of these emotional experiences that we feel like then I've got to have this over and over.
Like a drug.
Yeah. I mean, because it's an amazing experience and it is amazing to be part of a worship service where there's such a movement of the Holy Spirit that it's electrical in the room. You can just feel
a fragrance.
It's there and there's an aroma of God's pleasure there. To take that out into the world with us, to know that presence is so real and touchable that we can move through life trusting that the Holy Spirit is present with us, even outside the four walls of our church.
Even when we're not feeling it. So as much as we don't want to assume that we should be chasing after the experience all the time, we likewise don't want to be putting ourselves in a position to question every time someone else has an experience that we have not. And that requires a lot of discipline in ourselves to make sure that we are not judging people based on our experience or judging them out of our jealousy of their experience.
Exactly. Well, I would venture to say that this experience that the followers of Jesus had on Pentecost was not what we would say an emotional experience. Hmm. I think that for them, they were about the business of celebrating the Feast of Weeks. They were doing what was required of them, if you will, from the law of God. They were doing what Jesus had asked them to do, go to Jerusalem and stay there until the Holy Spirit comes. So they had an expectancy. They were waiting for something that Jesus had promised them.
And they were obedient.
Here's another thing that I think is just so beautiful in the way God works. Jesus sent them to Jerusalem to wait for the Holy Spirit, knowing full well that the city is cram-packed. with followers, with pilgrims.
Seekers.
And seekers. Yeah. They're coming there to worship, to celebrate the Feast of Weeks. They also are devout Jews. Mm-hmm. And Scripture tells us these people are from every corner of the globe, from all of the known world. So there's a whole list of people groups that are gathered here. So this is the great thing to me about this, that God is setting up an opportunity for these people to hear the truth about Jesus.
And to experience it.
And to experience the movement of the Holy Spirit. Because they heard this loud sound and they rushed to this place to say, what's going on here? And they begin to hear these people speaking in different languages. And each of them, it says, hears in their own native tongue. Which is an amazing thing. And it goes back to what you were talking about a few minutes ago, Bram, about our experience in a group of people that we were with from many different languages, many different countries. We had this experience of hearing someone prophesying over our group in some ways, speaking out on behalf of God. And
it came at the end of some real struggles.
Yeah.
We'd had a couple of days of, I won't say arguments, but there was a lot of dissonance in the group. We're wondering, is God really in this? Mm-hmm. Is He doing the same thing in Korea as He's doing in Australia or Mexico or in America? Who leads this thing? Who actually is in charge of this group? Where do we get our leadership from? Mm-hmm. That was the kind of environment we were in and debating vigorously for a couple of days when we knew we had to be obedient and be at worship that morning. Mm-hmm. And when we came, this began.
So we began to worship. many of us were just confessing before the Father our pride and our arrogance in thinking that we were all of that. Mm. I think that was true throughout the room. All of us were actually in one accord and worshiping. And then this young man stands up and begins to speak over us. And I don't remember his words, but I do remember feeling like this is bigger than all of us.
Yeah.
So when he finishes speaking, there's silence in the room and there's a heaviness in the room.
Yeah, there was.
That felt as though we were being pushed down in some ways. A heavy blanket over us. It wasn't scary.
There was a heaviness in the room that really kind of pushed us down into a posture of worship that was more than just acknowledging or praying. It was like literally get low because God's here. And that didn't lift until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And then the vigorous discussion. What just happened?
Right. Yeah. Right. And I think that many of us were maybe like some of these people who heard the disciples speaking. What is going on here? How did I just hear in my language? How did I understand what he was saying? We don't even speak the same language. And there were many of us in the room having this discussion.
Yeah.
And one young girl put her hand up very timidly and said, when he spoke, I heard him in Portuguese, and that's her native language. And the man that was speaking was not speaking Portuguese. He doesn't know Portuguese.
Yeah.
And then I saw around the room, there were like light bulbs going on in people's heads. And this young man from Korea said, I heard him in Korean. As we went around the room, people from different countries, it was like dawning on them. Well, I heard him in Hungarian. I heard Dutch. And it was really amazing. We all kind of just were overwhelmed by that truth. And it reminded me of this scripture. They heard the word of God in their native heart language, and it ministered to them in a deep, profound way.
So this is not exactly then what was happening in the first century Pentecost experience, but it was the same spirit. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Languages that were coming out of that first experience was many languages to many people. So you have a group that speaks Aramaic or maybe Greek is their native tongue there in first century Palestine, but they're speaking in languages they don't even know, but for them it's native at that point. The spirit is moving in them, moving their lips in such a way that someone outside the window could hear over the sill and say, why are they speaking my tongue? They even know my dialect. What's going on here? Who's from that country here that I don't know?
Right.
And so they're curious. And that curiosity of something that's familiar, but extremely different and new was kind of juxtaposed, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So people were streaming in saying, who is that person calling out from that building that is speaking my dialect? They want to know.
Right.
And then Peter has the opportunity to stand up and say, friends, what you're seeing is not what you think. This is not a bacchanal, people getting drunk at this hour of the day. Look, it's only 10 o'clock in the morning. What you're hearing is what was prophesied in the book of Joel. And then he goes to the scriptures. He knew exactly where in the Word of God to go to say, this is what's happening today.
Mm-hmm. And Joel prophesies that God will, in fact, pour out his spirit on all of humanity. He says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy in my name. They will speak boldly the Word of God that I'm pouring out on them.
Even your hired help and your slaves will prophesy in my name. This is pretty impressive. Now, I want to get to one last point, which I think is really germane to our situation today, honey.
Mm-hmm.
It's about who God says this word is going out to. And this is made clear to us in chapter 2. Let's talk about that just for a couple minutes.
Well, sure. So in verse 39 of chapter 2, the scripture says, for the promise of the Spirit is for you, for your children, for all people, even those considered outsiders and outcasts. The Lord our God invites everyone to come to him. Something that you said this morning in a conversation was that God sometimes speaks deeper than words. What is God saying behind what others might be trying to say? And when you said that, we were talking about all the noise that goes on around us. We're hearing all of these voices coming in on us, and we think that we have the theology of God figured out.
Yeah. Don't crowd me with new ideas.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that the Holy Spirit coming in full power was a new idea at this time.
It trumped our previous ideas.
Exactly. It overrode everything that we had previously known. And there was a culture of forgetting about the outsiders and the outcasts.
Yeah.
So I think that we need to look at that critically. Who are the outsiders? Who are the outcasts?
To us.
To us.
Yeah. Hmm. We have a habit of defining our Jerusalem and our Judea and our Samaria and our outermost parts based on our perspectives, not necessarily on God's. And to say that God had brought the entire world to Jerusalem for this experience and for this seed to be planted and carried forth and planted in other countries and the gospel to go forth in power was God's doing. I do think that the Holy Spirit sometimes just speaks up and says, you know what? I can speak for myself. Thank you very much. I don't need intermediaries anymore. And he breaks down the walls on purpose because he's just kind of tired of waiting for us to open up our hearts for him to come in or hindering others from coming to him by telling him this is what the word means every time and you must believe it this way or you're going to hell. We don't make room for God to speak for himself.
Well, God's voice is not harsh. There are difficult truths. There are hard things to hear, but God himself is not harsh. And if the voices that we're hearing are the voices that are coming out of our own mouth are consistently harsh
and judgmental
and judgmental.
And don't bring us right to the throne of Jesus and him first. Mm-hmm. They talk about putting heavy laws back on us or telling us how we need to fulfill the law in order to make Jesus accept us. Mm-hmm. Something's off because it is Jesus and Jesus first. Even if we never understand all the law, if we can know Jesus, we can know what the law was intended to do in the first place because we know him. And that's, I know, a brave thing to say today when there are so many legalists out there that really believe we have to synthesize the Old Testament and the New Testament together and not lose any part of it. It is a radical thing, and it's a Jesus thing. Jesus says, even if you don't get it, I'll take care of it. Just follow me. Mm-hmm. And if we only know his words, if we only hear the red letters and pay attention to what he said in the New Testament, that would be enough. He does invite us to go deeper and learn where he came from and why all these things are really truly brought into him and are complete in him. But it is him that matters most.
That's a radical way of thinking.
And it is for a lot of churches, too. We spend our time preaching at the Old Testament as if it stands over Jesus. It doesn't. It only has its worth now in Jesus. And if it's apart from him, it is dead. And Paul and all the apostles made that very clear. The law is only good for us in that it respects and honors and worships Jesus too. We'll leave it at that today, honey. If you don't mind just giving a quick prayer of blessing on the word and an encouragement for the believers, the followers, the disciples, the friends, the partners, the Compassion Radio people to be part of this. Can you bless them, please?
Yes. God, we are so grateful for your word. We are so grateful that we have it readily available to us on a daily basis, that we can study, we can know, we can gain wisdom from it. Lord, I pray that as we read and as we study, that we don't forget that you came in real flesh and blood, and that relationship is what makes the Word of God so alive and vibrant in us. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that you sent in great power. We thank you that we have that power available to us, that your word says to us that we will do greater works than even Jesus did. And that's because of the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Father, we thank you that we can go to lands where we don't know the language, but that you can still use us to speak boldly the word of God and the word of faith. I thank you for the generosity of our Compassion Radio partners throughout the life of this ministry, that you have used them to encourage and love not just us who are speaking, but the people that we serve around the world. Father, again, thank you for who you are and how you desire greatly to have deep relationship with us. Thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.